Let's pray. Loving and merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once on a visit to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., I was browsing around in their gift shop when I noticed a sign on the cash register that read, We may not have seen you take it, but God did. I suppose it discourages shoplifters. I confess that it discouraged me from buying anything, primarily because of the image of God it portrays. Reminded me of a trip one time through a cafeteria line at a Catholic retreat center. Toward the front of the line was a bowl of apples. Next to it was a neatly printed sign saying, "Please take only one apple. God is watching." Toward the end of the line was a plate full of chocolate chip cookies, next to which someone had added a hand-scribbled note that read, "Take all the cookies you want. God is watching the apples." On this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the Christian liturgical calendar year, the Gospel lectionary text brings us the parable of the Last Judgment. It's a difficult text, seemingly portraying a God who is watching over us in order to catch us in the act, in our sins of commission, or watching over us, observing the things we should have done but neglected to do, our sins of omission. Either way, with the wrong we have done or left undone, judgment and punishment are coming. The text raises tough issues. How do we reconcile this image of God who sends people into eternal punishment with the God we have come to know through Jesus Christ, whose mercy, forgiveness, and love knows no bounds? And are we saved by grace through faith, as we in the Reformed tradition are so bold to proclaim, or is it, as the parable seems to suggest, that it is our actions, not Christ's, which will determine ultimately if we are categorized as a sheep or a goat? For many, this parable creates a certain angst, an inarticulate dread, precisely because God is watching, and someday, somewhere, somehow, there will be a final accounting, a day of judgment. Of all the Gospels, Matthew's is perhaps the harshest. The 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel is filled with parables that speak words of judgment. Right before this one, "Now, young woman, you might get straight A's in school, but your lamp's barely burning. You get over there with the foolish maidens. And you there, with the shovel, burying my treasure entrusted to you, you've just waltzed your way to where the band doesn't play and the sun doesn't shine. And all those of you who didn't recognize the Christ in the poor and hurting, who didn't share enough, you just leave the sheep behind and get on over there with the three billy goats grub." Words of judgment. You are either a sheep or you are a goat, one or the other. Black and white, no gray area for Matthew. It is clear in his mind. When it comes to the final accounting, to the day of judgment, he knows who are the sheep and who are the goats. Now, try as hard as I might, I can't seem to see things that clearly. My eyes and mind are filled with lots of gray matter. I suspect that every day, all of us are at one and the same time a complex compilation of both sheep and goat. I know a sheep from a goat in the barnyard, but when it comes to looking inside a person, how do I know that what I perceive as a gruffly exterior goat is not a lamb at heart, or that a lamb is not really a wolf in sheep's clothing? One day a woman was between flights at a big city airport. She wasn't really hungry, just bored, so she wandered to a newsstand and purchased a small package of cookies. She returned to her seat and began to read the newspaper. When she heard the rustling of a wrapper being ripped, she peeked out from behind her paper and was flabbergasted to see a businessman in an expensive suit sitting beside her, helping himself to her cookies. Not wanting to make a scene, she quietly leaned over and took a cookie herself. From that point on, she kept an eye on this guy, and sure enough, before long, he helped himself to another cookie. She was angry. She thought she'd explode if she said anything, so she just kept her mouth shut, even when he reached in and grabbed the last cookie, broke it in two, and slid half across to her. He ate his half and without a word, got up and wandered off down the concourse. Still fuming after boarding her plane, she opened her purse to put away her boarding pass, and to her shock and embarrassment, there she found her pack of unopened cookies. It is hard for me to judge people, to place them neatly in the categories of sheep and goat. And perhaps it's supposed to be that way, at least according to the Bible. In other parables that Jesus tells, he makes it clear that the folks we think are stealing our cookies may in fact be sheep who are offering us the bread of life and the milk of human kindness. For Matthew, there is nothing hard about it. It's really quite simple. And kindness is the key. The sheep are those who respond to human need with simple acts of human kindness. Food for an empty stomach. Water for a soul deep thirst. Cleaning out the closet and giving away that second or third coat to one who has none. Care for the sick and dying, the gift of your presence to the lonely, the unlovable, the imprisoned. Simple as that. What separates the sheep from the goats are not acts of greatness and grandeur, but simple acts of human kindness. Now, somehow that changes this story for me. It's still a story that has an element of judgment, judgment that we need to hear, especially when we start lumping most of the flock in with the goats, or whenever we've gotten so caught up in our own little world that the milk of human kindness we offer has run dry or become soured by self-interest. But there is also in this story the refreshing word of grace. As William Barclay put it, there never was a parable which so opened the way to glory to the simplest people. What opens the way to glory is that anyone and everyone is capable of the simple acts of human kindness that Matthew speaks of. You don't have to have attended an Ivy League school to be kind. You don't have to have a six-figure income to be kind. You don't have to climb to the top of the ladder of success to be kind. You don't have to have the adoration of many to be kind. You don't have to agree with someone on anything to be kind to them. In a world where we can choose to be most anything, be kind. That's good news in a world that is so filled right now with anger and contempt, where so much human interaction lacks basic decency, much less kindness. It is good news in a world of such complex problems, healthcare, tax reform, North Korea, Syria, problems so incredibly difficult to solve. In the midst of these overwhelming problems, here is something simple that each of us can do. And in the doing, it becomes all the more glorious, for we discover that inasmuch as we did it to one of the least of these, we did it unto Christ the King Himself. For years, one of the most powerful men in all of Washington was Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn. He served 8 presidents and had tremendous influence upon our country in the legislation that he helped craft and guide through the Congress. One evening, Sam Rayburn learned that the young daughter of one of the reporters in the White House press corps had been tragically killed. The next morning, bright and early, he knocked on the reporter's door. Surprised to find the Speaker of the House at his doorstep, he was even more surprised when Speaker Rayburn said, "I heard about your daughter. I'm sorry. I just came by to see what I could do to help." "I don't know that there is anything you can do, Mr. Speaker. We're making all the arrangements," replied the grieving father. "Well, have you had your coffee yet this morning?" Rayburn asked. When the father admitted he had not, the speaker walked through the house and into the kitchen saying, "Well, at least let me do that." So he did. And seated at table sharing a cup of coffee, it suddenly dawned on the reporter where Mr. Rayburn was supposed to be. "Mr. Speaker, I thought you were supposed to be having breakfast at the White House this morning." "Well, I was," said Rayburn. "But I called the president and told him I have a friend in trouble and I couldn't come." There is a world of trouble out there all around us. Lots of folks waiting for a friend, in need of simple acts of human kindness. The great problems of the world aren't going to just go away. Individually and collectively as the church, we will continue to try to deal with the vexing dilemmas, the systemic problems facing humankind. But on a much less grand scale, Christ invites us to share in His glory by doing tasks that are much simpler. And in the doing, we discover once again Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, the one who comes to us in the least of these, our brothers and sisters, the one who sits down beside us wherever we may travel, tearing off the wrapper of judgment. He pushes our way half a loaf of bread. Tasting of mercy, forgiveness, and grace, saying to us, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you, for I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Thanks be to God. Amen.